right, book club day 24. And today we are getting into spiritual pride. So I think something that comes really along with judging other people, finding ourselves, deeming ourselves to be worthy and rightful owners in a sense of our place in society, of our place in the church. And this is something I think is really, really important. And so I'm really excited to get into this. I love that the beginning of this chapter, since he kind of led off yesterday's chapter, I think it was, talking about some of the issues of men, some of the vices that kind of lean towards more, that men are more inclined to, right? These vices that men are more inclined to. Today, he leads off with one that he says, all women who grow up, you can take this to say like all kind of cradle Catholic women, especially those who continue to practice their faith. This is something I've seen a lot. And so I'm really interested in this. And this is just a gossip about women, but to tell, you know, we have a lot of female listeners in Seeking Excellence, that this is something I think to be truly mindful of, to be thoughtful of. Is this something that you find yourself falling into? I think all of us can. This isn't something that is exclusive to women, but it is something that women are, I think, especially prone to. I think there's something really beautiful about the kind of Catholic, young Catholic, cute Instagram Catholic woman vibes and kind of circles. I married one of them, right? So Emily's like kind of in that world and has been in that world and involved in that world. And I love it, but I do recognize some of the downsides of it. I do recognize that there's this, I think there's beauty in being friends with others who are like you, right? All of us want friends who are similar to us, that have similar interests and values. But at the same time, you can't only have people in your life who are perfectly aligned with everything that you think, that are young, pretty, Catholic, fit, etc., right? From upper middle class homes. Like there has to be something that allows there to be not diversity for diversity's sake, but also not sameness for the sake of sameness, right? To actually have and welcome people who are different. And it doesn't have to be, you know, on social media. It doesn't have to, but in our just personal lives, are we willing to interact with people and engage with people who are different? And this is something that I think Emily and I see very differently. I think we both bring different strengths to our spiritual table as a family. Emily has some really, really great ones. I think she was especially helpful and has been continuously helpful in things like chastity, because she was much better at it than I have been throughout my life, even though she had her own struggles and setbacks and weaknesses at different times. But one that I think I bring to the table, because I've come from so many different backgrounds and have just been with so many different people, from the army to my own families to friends that I've had over the years, is just we have to be in the world and not of the world. We can't just totally retreat and live in this Catholic bubble that I've seen so many people wanting to do. And I see it in myself, and I find myself living in this Catholic bubble now, working in the church in some capacity and being very involved in the parish. And all those are good things, but I do always want to be mindful of how can I be intentional about trying to create friends, spending time with people who are not in that Catholic bubble, right? Who do not already see everything the way that I do. Maybe that they're very conservative already, but they're not very Christian or they're not Catholic, or they're Catholic and they're not very conservative, whatever it may be. I want to have a diverse group of friends and acquaintances. Not the people that I spend the most amount of time with, not the people that, you know, my kids are going to call aunt and uncle, that are like our closest friends, but even amongst, you know, amongst our friends and acquaintances, again, how can I, you know, cultivate a community that is going to have diverse backgrounds and where I'm appreciating people from different places and not falling into this trap that he says this woman can fall into, that thinking that anybody who does not share our belief are really too stupid or ridiculous to believe the way that we do. I love the quote. I don't know who it came from, but there's that famous quote out there that when you see a serious sinner or a homeless drug addict or whatever, you know, to sit there and think, there goes me, but for the grace of God, right? To recognize that if not for the grace of God in our lives, we could be amongst the worst sinners. We could be in prison. We could be homeless on the street, drugged out, not caring for our kids. You name it, right? We could be those people. It's really, really important to recognize that the goodness that we have in our hearts and our minds and our souls comes from God, not from us. And that helps us to not be as judgmental. We can still condemn actions. We can still, doesn't mean we have to pour out, you know, empty our bank accounts to help every homeless person we see on the streets, but it does allow us to at least recognize that we are not inherently better than anybody else. And it's not just because other people are stupid and dumb. I try to tell people about this a lot because I've been on both sides of the political aisle. I've been Protestant and Catholic. I've been a serious sinner and somebody who was very holy at different times in my life. And so just recognizing that, I'm like, it was still me the whole time, right? If I'm smart now, I was smart then, or at least had the capacity for intelligence, the capacity for wisdom. It just wasn't being applied correctly. It wasn't being filled with goodness, with truth, with beauty. And so it doesn't mean that somebody's stupid if they don't see things the way that I do. This is why I believe in engaging in debate and in argument and discussion. And I think our world today, I've just been more and more awakened to how much the world has infiltrated Catholic minds. I see it in trads. I see it in progressive Catholics and very Orthodox Catholics and very unorthodox Catholics. And it's really sad to me. Most recently, if you've been following any of our Hallow controversy over the last few weeks with the Advent playlist, the Advent challenge, I just think that cancel culture is another thing that has really crept into the minds. I've seen different Catholic influencers on social media sharing things that I just think are very cancel culture-ish. And just, you know, kind of you find one thing that somebody doesn't like and you not only boycott it yourself, but you encourage other people to boycott it. You try to control everybody else to fit into your box and do things exactly as you would have them done. And I think that there's times and places for that. There's times to boycott things. Obviously, it was very effective in the civil rights movement. I think it's been very effective with like things like Bud Light or Target. And you still get to shop and do the things that you want to do. When you start to try to bring a company down and by encouraging large swaths of their customer base to stop using them, when that company is Catholic and helping people to pray, I think there's a different standard you should use there. And I think that people are going to be somewhat culpable for doing that and discouraging people from using something that was really helping them to progress spiritually because somebody else had a personal disagreement with it. Now, that's neither here nor there, and I don't want to get into tangent around that. And I haven't shared my thoughts publicly on that, but if you have questions about what I think, feel free to reach out to me and ask me. You're a local supporter, so you can obviously contact me anytime via email, social media, whatever, or on locals directly. Going on here, talking about on page 131, he says, having him think that these people are his sort, and that coming among them, he has come home. When he turns from them to other society, he will find it dull, partly because almost any society within his reach is, in fact, much less entertaining, but still more because he will miss the enchantment of the young woman. You teach him to mistake this contrast between the circle that delights and the circle that bores him for the contrast between Christians and unbelievers. So just because you become friends with Christians and you find them the most enjoyable people to be around, he talks here about how you can basically come to find the rest of society dull and boring. And I've had this experience. I've had this experience mainly with my family, I think, at certain times where it's like, I really like to talk about religion and politics. And so I go home and I have family members who don't like to talk about religion and politics. And I find it dull and boring. And I just think that it's lame and it can help me. It can make me become very judgmental. And it can make me think, you know, I want to get back to around my people, my sort of people or whatever. And I have this right to be amongst these people who are intellectuals and think about these higher issues. Now, I still do think that there's higher and lower things you can talk about, and you've probably seen and heard people talk about, like, you know, the basis level. People just talk about other people. Then you have people that talk about things, and you have people that eventually get to ideas and values, etc. I still think that hierarchy exists, but I think we have to be very careful with just deeming anybody who's not like us as boring, right? There's still things. Everybody's interesting, and you just have to get them, and everybody's passionate about something. And so finding the things that other people are passionate about, one, can be a huge act of love, but two, can also lead to very interesting discussions and conversations that may be different than the normal conversations and discussions you have, but are still entertaining and still fun and can help you to understand that people aren't just dull or boring or lame just because they don't like all the same things that you like, right? Thank God that not everybody is me. Thank God that not everybody is you. And we should be grateful for that. And we should shout that gratitude from the rooftops. Because it does make the world a better place that we are all different and unique and special in our own way. And so, yeah, lots to unpack from today. We're getting close to the end. So I hope you're enjoying the ride. God bless you. Be your best. I'll see you tomorrow.